Come on. I'm an alcoholic who's absolutely powerless over cocaine. And my name is Chris Raymer. I actually live in Ingram, Texas. Let's get straight. Ingram, Texas, a little small town up in the hill country, and I work in Hunt, Texas. Ingram, Texas, over near Kerrville, Texas. Yeah, I can't even believe. You know, I speak in Texas all the time. This is the first time I've ever spoken in Arizona, and I forget. You people don't have a clue where I'm talking about, do you? You heard of the Appalachia? Ingram is the Appalachia of Texas. Do you know? After you get to see the river there, you know, there's nothing but molesting sheep. I mean, there's nothing else there. I don't know. Can you talk about sheep molestation in Arizona? Okay. Folks, whatever she's got, get it. I don't know, whatever. This could be good. I'm gonna attempt to do two things tonight. Two things. I'm gonna attempt not to cuss, and I'm gonna attempt not to piss anybody off. I'm gonna tell you right now that I'm gonna fail miserably at both of those things. I'm gonna really try with the cussing part though, because I believe we should be respectful and do that. I'm a chronic relapser. How do I explain this? I'm 8 years in and out of the fellowships trying to get sober. AA, NA. They didn't have CA in Texas back then. And I can't get sober. And I'm dying, and things ain't going too well. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But in 1987, I landed in a room full of people that were all carrying big books. And there were alcoholics there, and there were addicts there. But they had one thing in common. They were all coming right out of the pages of the big book. And I got sober because I didn't want to try to commit suicide anymore. And I wanted another change. They said it would work if you'll do the work, and I finally gave up the fight and said, okay, I don't believe you, but I'll do it. And this is where I'm coming from tonight, folks. I nearly died getting to you cats, and it was a painful journey. And I watch so many of you in the same place in my fellowships today. Whether you've got some sobriety under your belt or not, I still watch a lot of people in my fellowship that are absolutely miserable. And I want to talk to you cats about this business. I want to talk to the folks. And in the process of doing this, I'm just going to tell you off the bat. This is my moment of disclaimer. I feel like I need to do it for all you newcomers. Bless you for being here, and some of you old timers that have killed people with your goddamned opinions for years. I just need to tell you right off the bat that I'm going to irritate some of you. I'm coming. You know, it's funny. You know, I'm a controversial speaker. Everybody else says, "Oh, you're the Chris Raymer. You're that guy that gets him from the post. Oh, I know about you. See, I'm the controversial one. Yet everything I'm saying comes out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You see, we don't say anything about the son of a bitch that'll stand up here and tell you to take your time to do the work. That's the controversial buckaroo. I just need to tell you right off the bat, you know, some of you are going to love what I'm going to say, and some of you are just going to hate it, and that's okay. I understand that. I'm not telling anybody from this podium what to do. If middle-of-the-road solution is working for you, and you're just happy, 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 taking it as it comes, and fake it till you make it, and all that other happy horse, if that's working for you, go for it. Do it. Do it. This is open, free deal. But if your life's not happy, joyous, and free, and if you haven't had the spiritual experience that the book talks to you about, folks, listen up. Maybe something I'll say will jog you off dead center, and you'll walk out tonight and go find a sponsor and start working the steps, and you'll have the same kind of experience I had. It'll blow you out of the friggin' water. You know, everybody wants to take exception with what I say sometimes from the podium. You know, it's like we'll have a lineup that'll come up here, and you know, there'll be a bunch of you guys that'll come up and say, boy, we really enjoy it. You know, the same old stuff. Come back to Phoenix, you know. And then we'll have a little line that'll sit around and piss and moan and punch their knuckles a little bit, you know, and just wait till the crowd lies down. Then they're going to come up and take exception with what I'm saying, you know. And I just want to tell you before you do it, I'm ready for you. see these five big sons of bitches over here? They're my friends. They're my buddies. So before I get cranking here, I need to really thank Craig for asking me to come up here, and John and Tony for their hospitality. I feel like a tourist. Phoenix, I never saw anything like it. You know, I'm one of those Texans that always, you know, fuck you. If you're not from Texas, you ain't from anywhere. You know, if you don't love it, leave it. You know, this kind of Texas is the only place to be, right? I was raised. Man, I need to get out of Texas more often. They took me rock cutting yesterday up in the... Well, I probably shouldn't say that here. I'm a junior geologist. We took rock hammers and went up on a hill and busted a bunch of rock, and we had a great time. And I gotta tell you, I talk at CA meetings, just not very damned often. I apologize. Oh man, I work at a treatment center in Texas. I do clerical work for a treatment center, and I swore I would never work for a treatment center because I just swore I wouldn't, and. I ended up doing it, and we get to do a lot of big book work with some of the cats for free and for fun. We got some people here in the audience that have gone through that little tirade, and one of the things, everybody that comes through this facility, I get a chance to talk to, and let's say we have 1,000 people through there a year, I get the chance, addicts and alcoholics alike. I tell you, in the last 3 years, it's practically nothing but crack addicts. It's the damnedest thing we've ever seen it's a damned epidemic. I got to say this right off the bat, thank God for Cocaine Anonymous, because they've been, up to that point, they're dying out there. They're sitting in my stupid AA meetings and trying to identify with somebody, trying to get some experience, strength, and hope with somebody that hadn't got a clue what cocaine's about, and they're walking out and dying. Not knocking the fellowship. I'm just saying this deal about identification is real and it's necessary. And what happened is when we started getting Cocaine Anonymous going cranking in Texas, we started seeing a whole bunch of people in that area getting sober and staying sober. It's the way it worked. Why in the hell would there be over 200 12-step programs based on this, on these 12, if it didn't work? It just blows me away. We would think nothing. You know, you got a lady, she have a little problem with eating, or a man have a little problem, and he comes and sits in my AA meeting and starts talking about his food addiction. We'll shut him down like a heartbeat. But we'll sit there and let the addict sit in the AA meeting and die in our fellowship. There's no identification there for a lot of these cats. You're welcome. I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying, but if you can't get it there, try it in this fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous, because that's what it's about. I'll say it again. Thank God for Cocaine Anonymous. It's the coolest. In the process of working with all these buckaroos that come through, we get a lot of young adults through there, we get a lot of old adults through there, and I ask them these questions when they get there. I said, buddy, you know, how come, I said, did you ever go to AA and Cocaine Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous? Did you ever go to these meetings? Oh, sure, hell yeah, every one of them, 100% of them, 95% of them come and say, yes, absolutely, we went to the program. And I said, well, buddy, you know, I'm nearly 11 years sober today as a result of the fellowship. I know the son of a bitch works. There's millions of us in Cocaine and Anonymous and AA. We're all so... Why didn't you stay? Why didn't you get it? This is where it gets controversial. You wouldn't beat up a handicapped man, would you? No. Yeah, they would. There's no question about it. Yeah, they would. What they tell me is this. We got sick and tired of listening to the war stories, and we got sick and tired of listening to people piss and moan about their problems. It's the truth. And so we go, okay. And so years ago, I started looking in the literature, looking for reasons why the fellowship has gotten so crazy. You know, success rates in Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't have the statistics now for Cocaine Anonymous, but I'm going to get them. Success rates, when AA first came around the pike in 1939, when we got the book, success rates in the early 40s were 65% of the people coming through the door were getting sober. They just mirrored what's in the book. I've looked in every archive. I've talked to every old-timer I could find. At certain point, after a period of screwing around with the deal in and out like some of us do, 75% of the people coming to the fellowship were getting sober. In Cleveland, Ohio, around the Cleveland area and Akron area, there was nearly 100% success rate in my fellowships. Today, in Texas, I don't know about Arizona, in Texas, recovery rate's right around 20%. In Houston, Texas, last count, it was about 8% of the people coming into the fellowship are getting sober. Everybody wants to come up and make an excuse. Oh, you know, it's the breakdown of the family unit. Oh, it's that goddamn crack cocaine. Oh, it's the legal system. Oh, it's them damn kids. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. No, it's not. You know, we had all those problems back in the 1930s and 40s. We had all cocaine, we had all the damn drug ads. It's not that. It's that the message that's being carried today to these nice people is not the same message that was carried back then. Back then, they didn't fuck with you. If you didn't want to get this deal, if you didn't want to get sober, they just patted you on the head and pointed you to the door and said, there it is. Just that simple. We weren't here to listen to your stuff. We were here to help you find God. Folks, Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous is not a self-help program. It's a spiritual program whereby we work a few steps and get connected to a power greater than ourselves called God. And at that point, the desire to smoke crack cocaine leaves us. And at that point, the desire to drink leaves us. And for some of you people that think it takes forever, and I've heard some of that here lately, it does not. It does not. The book says in the 10th step, it'll leave you just like that. The problem will be removed. And at that point, folks, you hear me, and then you can go out and smoke a cigarette. You recover from alcoholism and drug addiction. You recover. I hear people in meetings all the time, I'm recovering from that. Well, why don't you finish your goddamn amends, and then you'll recover, and then you can get on down the road. Isn't that the truth? I'd love to be in the coffee shops around Phoenix tonight, you know, a little fly on the wall, listening to this shit. And boy, that little one-eyed son of a bitch, he was wound up tonight. I was in the food business as a young adult, and not particularly because I like to cook, but because they let me drink on the job, and that was the truth. And I was quite successful in the food business, and I'm suffering from a thing called a spiritual malady. And I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, and I ain't a happy camper, and alcohol alleviates that. Up until about 1979, and I'm starting having trouble with alcohol, and a friend of mine, a merchant marine, meets me outside of town one day and says, Chris, you got to try this shit. You got to try this. I said, what you got? And he says, man, this is some cocaine. Let's go. Let me tell you the difference, folks. I hear people all the time, oh, drugs and alcohol are the same. I did a little bumpy poo of that nonsense, and I stopped and got me a quart of beer and sat out in my pickup truck for about an hour. Listen, and I went home, and I got my telescope and my stereo and my little black and white television, and I went to the pawn shop, and I sold everything I had, and I went and bought some more. Y'all hit. I never with alcohol. This stuff took me to a place, and it was just a spiraling descent into hell from that point. And everything that I said I would never end up doing, I ended up doing. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It took the two to do it, bring me to my knees, I can promise you, but I got taken to my knees. In 1982, I'm up in North Texas, and I'm trying to get sober. I'm just crazy, folks. I knew that I had a problem when I was I watched some of these young adults picking up rings tonight, and I just knew when I was their age that I had a problem, but I couldn't stop, you know? I just couldn't. But in 82, about 1980, I'm fixing to lose a wife, and I've lost a couple of businesses around cocaine, in the restaurant business, cash flow is great, you know, and it's real easy to reach in there and I'm in trouble. And I walk into this meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous up in North Texas, and I've told this story 1,000 times. It's on every tape I've ever done, and I need to tell it to you. I'm not up here to take any. Yeah, I am. I'm fixing to take a bunch of people's inventory, you know, because I walked into this meeting, and I don't have any money. And I can't go to treatment, and I can't, you know, I've done counseling for years, I've done therapy, I've done psychiatry, I've done everything in the world. I've been diagnosed with every kind of manic depressive disorder. I'm depressed as hell. I'm suicidal. You know, they said, have you ever contemplated suicide? And I went, hell yes, haven't you? You know, well, have you ever planned it out? Well, hell yes, haven't you? You know, I mean, I'm nuts. And I walk into this meeting, and I want to get some help. And I'm cooking on a line down in Denton, and I take my whites off, and I walk up the line, and the guy says, hey, who's watching the kitchen? I said, fuck your kitchen. I got to go get sober. I got to go. Oh. And I walked into the meeting, and the meeting starts out. I don't know how they do it a lot here in Arizona. I've just been to some great meetings since I've been here. But in Texas, we start out with discussion meetings every damn way. We started out with, who's got the problem? Huh. Well, I got a problem. I'm addicted to some narcotics, some heavy-hitting drugs, and I'm addicted to alcohol up to my ass, and I'm fixing to lose. I got some problem. Before I can get my hand up, there's a nice little guy over in the edge of the room. Says, well, I got a problem. Yes, Jimmy, come on. And he's with the treatment center, you know, and oh, Jimmy, you know, he went out and bought this poster. I remember it like it was yesterday. And he bought this damn poster, and he didn't want the poster, but he bought it anyway. So... So we're gonna say, oh, well, so Jimmy's having trouble with shopping, so we're gonna talk about... You know, we could laugh about it today, guys, but I'm telling you, you know, I'm sitting in the goddamn room detoxing. You know, I'm coming apart at the seams, and I'm looking at the walls, and here's the steps, and here's the traditions, and I know I'm in an AA meeting, but we're going to talk about shopping. And the nice little lady, they start around the room, and, oh, I used to do that. You know, let me tell you how, you know, I'm just, fuck, is anybody going to get around to the alcoholic who's suffering in the room? Well, I get my feelings hurt. I clam up, and I walk out of the damn room. Problems. A couple of weeks later, I go back. You know, we try it again. You know, I go to a different meeting. Oh, Chris Raymer's here. We've got a newcomer here. You know, he's first time here. Let's tell him how he got here. Yeah, now see, of course, now what I want to hear is, can you get sober? You know, can you really wake up in the morning and not crack a beer? Can you wake up and just know that that by 6 o'clock tonight, you're not going to have a snow seal busted? You know, can anybody give me some hope here? No. We're going to start around and go around the room and start telling them. Oh, folks. I'll get through this. You know, if I start speaking in tongues from up here, don't worry about it. I have done it from the podium. I'm passionate about this. I just, you know, because nowhere in the book does it talk about pissing and moaning or war stories. It says, oh, man. And we go around and we start on one side of the room and everybody says, well, this is how I got here. And, you know, and I had 2 DWIs and blah, blah, blah. And I, well, that's really nice. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, I've never had a DWI. Check. And then we go around to the next person. Oh, you know, I've been to the federal penitentiary and I lost this. No, not check. I've never been to the federal penitentiary. Blacking out. And I've been this and I've wrecked 15 cars. I never wrecked a car in my life. Everything checked. I'm a functioning alcoholic, folks. I own a business. I got a house. I'm paying my damn bills. The problem is I'm dying inside. I've got a disease called alcoholism and drug addiction. I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession and a, by God, spiritual malady. And I'm going to kill myself unless I can get some relief. Are we going to talk about that? That's what the literature talks about. Are we going to talk about it? No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the goddamn war stories until the cow ate the cabbage. And I listened to them until I couldn't stand anymore and said, thank you very much. I'm not one of you. I'm out of here. And that's why we can't keep the young adults in these fellowships today, because there's too many people sharing their war stories. The book says we share in a general way what it used to be like, what it's like, what happened now. Isn't that what the book says? You know, it just blows me out of the water. You know, this deal about identification. Tony picks me up at the airport. Don't get scared, buddy. It's going to be okay, you know. Tony's got this look. I told him already he can leave early. Tony picks me up at the airport, and we sit there and talk for a few minutes. In the process of driving across this gorgeous city, he asked me a few questions about my drinking and drugging career, and I asked him a few about his, so we kind of identify a little bit. It took maybe 10 minutes. A conversation, and we were down the road, and we spent the rest of the weekend, one of the most pleasant weekends I've ever had, truly. Rock hunting, talking about art, talking about music, talking about literature. Didn't take much to figure out where we were on. We got on the same page. You see, it's our common solution that holds us together, folks. It's not our common problem. Okay, you're an addict. Why is it that you feel it necessary to tell me how much cocaine you need? Why do you feel it necessary to talk to me about how much heroin you shot? Who gives a shit how much dope you use? No, truly, who? Who cares? When are we going to get to the good stuff? When are we going to talk about hope? The book on page 24, there's a great line that says, the almost certain consequences that follow even taking a glass of beer are not even going to crowd into our mind to deter us. We're not even going to remember the last little piece of trouble we were in. What makes you think the addict that's sitting next to you is going to remember your shit? You see, what are we trying to do? No, it's the truth. What am I going to do with these young guys in here? What am I going to do? I'm going to scare them into recovery? Give me a break. Yeah. We're not going to scare anybody into recovery. There's no chapter in the back of this book called End of Scare. There's not. There's a chapter in the back of the book called A Vision for You. And that's our responsibility as sober members of Cocaine Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous to pull the newcomer with a vision. That's our responsibility. And the problem with our fellowship today, thanks to, I'll just go ahead and jump out there, the absolute piss-poor sponsorship, the problem with our fellowship today is we don't have enough people out there doing it. We got too many people sitting around the periphery pissing and moaning about their problems and talking about their stupid war stories and barely staying sober. And then when they relapse, everybody looks around and shakes their heads and says, God dang, I guess just wasn't his time to get sober. When are we going to start taking some responsibility for our fellowship? Maybe they didn't get the kind of sponsorship you got. Maybe they didn't ever get a chance to work the steps. You see, folks, going to meetings ain't going to keep you sober. You can go to, it just drives me crazy. I come from this old school where it talks about meeting makers make it. No, meeting makers don't make it. Let me tell you what happens. Meeting makers make it right up to the point that the spiritual malady returns and the mental obsession kicks in again, and then we go to the dope house. People that work the steps and have a spiritual experience, they're the ones that make it. On page 25, there's a little line that says, the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The certain fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. You know, folks, I want to talk about this real quick. We'll move on to some other stuff. But this pissing and moaning stuff in meetings has got to stop. I'm telling you again, I'm not here to fix what's wrong with you. If I had the power to even... If I could have fixed me, I'd have done it years ago, wouldn't I? Now, see, it's great. Y'all, wish y'all could stand up here and watch these people fucking chop their teeth. I mean, because every one of us have done it. I'm guilty, too, of doing it. I'm having a bad day. How nice for you. You know, but you're sober today, aren't you? Uh-huh. You've been sober for a couple of days, haven't you? Uh-huh. Well, the son of a bitch sitting behind you is still reeking of the pipe. He is not okay today. Why don't we talk about him today and talk about him and pull him with a vision and talk about God and the steps, and maybe your shit will go away. You see, that's the principle that the fellowship was built on. One alcoholic works with another alcoholic. One coke addict works with another coke addict. And we pull him with a vision. And while I'm doing that, everything else is being taken care of back over here. You see, I can't fix what's wrong with me. It says God can. On page 100, it says no matter what your present circumstances, you're going to get taken to a different place if you will but submit to certain rules in the program. Do the goddamn work and share that information with a newcomer. The most foremost thing on every addict's mind in here ought to be going, who can I help tonight? And when you do that, I didn't believe it either. That's why I couldn't stay sober for 8 years. I kept walking into the meetings and getting pissed off because you couldn't help me with my divorce. You couldn't help me with raising kids. You couldn't help me with get a job. You couldn't. That's not our job. That's not our place. Our place here is to help you get connected with God. God can and will if you were sought. The last lady, they just read it today, how it works. Let God do what God does. Get the hell out of the way. And that's what it's about. I apologize. I sound like a preacher up here. But Jesus, you know, I sit around the fellowship and I watch you guys hurt. You know, I watch the crack addicts come in, especially the women. They can't look you in the face, and they're so riddled with shame, and they've got so much shit going on, and all the guilt and all the stuff that goes on, and the guys come in, and they've spent fortunes, and they can't look their families in the face, and they've screwed their lives up. And then they walk into the fellowship, and we try to talk them through it by giving them advice about what to do. We're wasting their time. We're wasting their time. We're wasting their time. We need to get you connected to God. I hear people in meetings all the time. Oh, take your time. Easy does it. Think, think, think. Let's make sure those are not on the wall in here. I've thrown more than one of them out the door. You see, because we need to get straight with what does the book say? What does the book say? The book says, seek the solution with the desperation of a drowning man. You see, people are always talking about that. It's not a race. Let me tell you this. You ask any crack addict who's hung off a pipe and comes in here and wants to get sober and knows damn good and well he's going to go out after the meeting and smoke and tell me that it's not a goddamn race. It is a race. Unless that obsession is removed from you, you're going to go use again. We do not have time to screw around with this business. If you need a good therapist, God's going to put you in one. If you need a good sponsor, God's going to put one in your face. But we need to make our fellowships conducive to that kind of talk. When you walk in the room, you need to know that what we're going to talk about is the steps. I don't don't know about the meeting schedules in Phoenix, Texas. I've heard some great AA and CA here since I've been here this week. I got to tell you this, in Texas alone, in Austin, Texas, there's over 500 AA meetings in Austin, Texas. 30 of those are literature-based meetings. For other 470 are discussion meetings. We're discussion meeting to death. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If you want to go talk piss and moan about your divorce one more goddamn time, you've got 470 chances to do it in a week. But if you want to talk about the, no, it's the truth. But if you want to talk about the literature, if you want to talk about literature, I just need to get this out of the way. I need to get this out of the way. I got another couple of things on. For 8 years, I couldn't get sober because I wouldn't understand the fact that, what? It says it on page 62. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. See, I'm the most selfish son of a bitch in the world. And I don't care if you're trying to detox in my meeting. And I don't care if you're trying to get sober. You need to understand that I'm having difficulty with my new babysitter. And you should really appreciate the fact that my PO and me are not having a very good time together. And we need to really chat about that. And then the bleeding heart liberal will come up here after the meeting and say, but Chris, you need to understand, if they bring that problem to a meeting and they don't talk about it, they're going to go drink. You need to hear this. They're going to go drink anyway. They're not working with other addicts. They're not working with other alcoholics. They're selfish and self-centered to the core. If they don't use that excuse to drink, they'll go find another excuse to drink. We are here for the newcomer who is still hurting. When you go work with another alcoholic and addict, you get out of yourself and allow God to take care of the problem. Folks, this is spiritual stuff here, and this is what this thing is about. The absolute arrogance of me to think that I could come into one of your recovery meetings and talk about my bullshit. Do you need to talk about it? Yes. Why don't you come early in the meeting and we'll sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about that? Why don't you stay later and we'll come talk about it? Why don't you come to a good outpatient facility or an inpatient? Why don't you get to a good therapist or good counselor? Why don't you go talk to a clergyman? Why don't you talk to somebody besides me in my damned AA meeting, in my Cocaine Anonymous meeting? We're here trying to talk about God and the steps. What is it so great about your friggin' problem that you have to just feel compelled to come share? It's the epitome of selfishness. I'm just telling you, folks. Some of you guys, I tell you, it's like deer in a headlight. You know, your eyes like this. Like, I can't believe he's talking like this. You need to show me in the big book where it says that what we are is a fellowship of people of pissing and moaning, you know, where you can come and share. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Third step prayer stuff, folks. Stick with me for just a second. What does it say? The book says that God's going to remove my difficulties. I'm not going to get emotional. Let me tell you, folks, God says he's going to remove your difficulties so that victory over those difficulties can bear witness to God's power. That's what it says. This is not church. I'm just telling you, we're talking about a tangible power. God is real. There's a power out there that you get connected to that it relieves you of the obsession to use. And by God, you've got to do some things to get there. You can't just sit on your ass and get it by osmosis. That's why we got so many people dying in the fellowship. They think, well, it's going to happen even. How come it happened to him, but it didn't happen to him? Because he did the fucking work. That's why. He worked the steps. You can cut it any way you want to, folks. Any way you want to, it's the truth. The people that do the work get the results. Why is it that a woman that will leave my treatment facility, who has been so brutally sexually abused, it's not even funny, got every issue known to man, and she can walk off campus and get sober and stay sober? And why is it that the woman that living in a $300,000 home in Plano, Texas, driving a brand new Lincoln Town Car, can't breathe a sober breath 2 days after she walks off campus? Why? Because the one that was molested went to a friggin' meeting that night after she left treatment, and she got a sponsor, and she started on the spiritual path the rest of us had to get on to. You follow me? Just that simple. She started doing the work. She got sober. God took her past her problem. Everybody wants to go, oh, it's not that simple. How do you know it's not that simple? You haven't done the work anyway. What are you talking about? And that's what we ask them when they come up. I mean, we get down and you always have a nice woman or a man will come up and say, but Chris, you don't understand. You know, many of us have other issues that we're dealing with, and we have the poverty, and we have all this abuse, and we have Vietnam, and I go back and I always add that, and I got a little dick, and yeah. Boy, this tape's going to travel, I can tell you that. But I'm sitting there listening, yeah, okay, and you're telling me all this. And, you know, and I understand you're hurting. I understand you're hurting. But and after you finish and you've finally stopped puking on me and you've just, and I'm, we got a little town, we're laughing. Okay, now then let me ask you one simple question. I want to ask you one simple question back in rebuttal. I understand you've got all those things going on. Let me ask you one simple question. As a responsible member of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous, this is my job to ask you this question. Have you started on the title page of this book where it says that you can recover from this shit? And have you gone up to page 164 and done everything it asks you to do in between? Done the three inventories it asks you to do, did the third step prayer, made all of your goddamn amends, not just the ones you were comfortable with, and I don't want to hear anything, and I don't want to hear anything about this living amends shit, none of that stuff. You know, what is this about this amends business? You know, I'm making living amends. You know the lady that I stole a VCR from to buy cocaine? You know, she don't want to know that I'm not stealing any more VCRs. She wants her fucking VCR back now. No. She wants, here's the money I owe you. That's called an amend. Now we're going to make you try to do the best you can do. And I'm going to ask this cat, are you doing everything we ask you to do? And let me ask you this. After you worked all these steps, are you carrying this message back to other alcoholics? Are you going to meetings not to see what you can take from the meeting, but what you can give to the meeting? Are you there to make it right? If the meeting's going down the toilet with somebody monologuing it in there, are you the one that stands up and says, hey, buddy, why don't you shut your mouth for a minute and let somebody else? Are you being responsible? Is this just rhetoric? Is this it right here? Are you actually being responsible? Are you doing what the book asks you to do in those 164 pages? Well, you know, I'm working my program to the best of my ability. No, buddy, I ask you a yes or no question. What is it with alcoholics and addicts? You can't give me a yes or no answer to a yes or no question. I ask you if you were working the steps and doing what the book asks you to do in the first 164 pages. Are you or ain't you? I guess not. Then shut the fuck up! You know, what are you under that? You're sitting there saying it won't work, but you won't do it. How do you know? It's like saying, she won't go out with me. She won't go out with me. Have you asked her? Well, no, but she won't go out with me. Buddy, you gotta go ask for the order. You know, go! The people that are doing the work, folks, are getting the results. You just got to see what it's done. I watch the people come through in the facility, and my job is to call them when they leave the facility, and I monitor, and we watch, and we see it. And what happens is the people that get connected to the fellowships of Cocaine Anonymous and AA and NA, they're staying sober, kicking butt. I don't give a shit about their circumstances. They're staying sober. God's taking them to a different place. And the people that are not are just not. It's just that one treatment center after another treatment center after another treatment center after another. What the fuck are you looking for? What are you waiting for? To hear something new? There is nothing new. It's about God. That's it. Will you get connected to the power or not? Will you get connected or not? It's not about your issues. I'm issued to death. I'm issued to death. All of us have got problems, folks. See what God can do. In 1987, after this suicide attempt, I'm so depressed, I just want to scream. And I tried to take an overdose of pills and alcohol, and I abort the attempt, and I ended up back in AA the next day. And the cats all carrying books, and they're all talking to me about the steps, and they're all talking to me about the deal. And I got a sponsor that night, and he started working me through the steps. Oh, you mean you didn't wait 6 months before you started your steps? How could you do a thorough inventory? You see, the book doesn't talk about it. The book says do it now. Bill Wilson worked the damn steps in a week. Folks, he was on his seventh day in Towns Hospital detoxing when he had his barn-burning spiritual experience. He was already working on his four-step when he had his barn-burning spiritual experience. Dr. Bob took a little less than 2 weeks to do them. The co-founders of the goddamn fellowship did them less than a month. But son, just take your time. I'm telling you, I'm not 2 weeks ago in San Antonio, Texas, I'm sitting in a big old club down there, and there's about this many people in the room, and they're just full of newcomers, and there's an old-timer then there and says, well, you know, my sponsor said, you know, that we're going to be working these steps the rest of our lives, and so I'm just going to be working one step a year, and then we're going to make sure we get a third. Okay, but we still hear it in our meetings all the time. So what you're telling me is that as a result of working the steps, you're going to have a spiritual experience, but you're going to wait 12 years to have your spiritual experience. Folks, that may be great for some of these crusty old alcoholics. Fuck them, I don't know. But I'm telling you, for the real McCoy, for the crack addict, for the real, real dope fiend, we don't have 12 years to have a spiritual experience. We may have a few hours. We may have a few days of God's grace. And at that point, we need to be out there being responsible, kicking butt and taking names. I'm praying that some of you will get irritated enough with this to get off dead center and get a sponsor and start doing the work. I get to speak around Texas so much, and I'm constantly coming across with people that come up to me, and they want to say, well, you know, Chris, you're always talking about the power, and you're always so passionate, but, you know, I just don't think I've had that spiritual experience, or, you know, and I have to just tell them straight, you know, you haven't. You know, I mean, I don't want to go there, but, I mean, I'm not taking it. If you have to ask me if you've had a spiritual experience or not, you know, you haven't had it. Where's the light? Look, Craig, let's have a graphic illustration here. Would you stick your tongue in this light socket? You see? I know. Dave, you come on? Craig just looks stupid. He's not. You know, he wasn't going to do it. But you see, if Craig had done that, let's say if Craig had done that, he'd come up here and stuck his tongue in his light socket. You know, it wouldn't have been this quick. He'd get up, bam, you know, and he'd have been walking around looking to screw his little stinger back on, he wouldn't have stood there and said, Jesus, you know, I'm not sure, but I think I just got shocked. You know, he'd have said, Jesus, son of a bitch, that's good, you know. Well, all cocaine addicts are deviants. I don't care what they say. They're all deviants. But it's the same correlation with the spiritual experience, folks. If you haven't had it, you haven't had it. It's just that simple. If you're still obsessing about alcohol and drugs today, you haven't had the spiritual experience. I'm not saying you're worse or better than anybody. I'm just saying you haven't had it. If you're still fighting boredom and depression on a daily basis, you haven't had it. You've got to hear me. This program is for everybody. God's grace falls evenly on everybody. If you haven't had it, you need to get with somebody that has had it, and they can pull you with their vision and show you exactly how to have this thing. This thing works the same for everybody, folks. I get a little tired, a little weary of people with their specialty interest stuff, you know. We got the professionals in the professional group. We got the kids in the kids group. We got the women in the women's group. We got the men in the men's group. You know, we got it all divided up nice and easy so we can talk about what? Let me run something past you. Do you think the young adult has a different God than me? Do you think he has a young adult alcoholism or drug addiction? I think he has got the same damn alcoholism and drug addiction that I've got. And he needs the same grade A recovery that I'm getting. It's just that simple. When we stop talking down to these little buckaroos, they're going to get sober and stay sober. It's the same thing with the women. When we stop letting them off the goddamn hook, we got to stop. We just got to stop. This works for everybody. Two weeks into the fellowship, after in 1987, after I walked in, I get out of my car. I talk to some of you guys about this, and I'm driving an old beat-up pickup truck. You know how it goes, and leaning on one side. You know, it's like this. I saw two or three in the parking lot just like it coming in. You know, I don't know. You ought to be standard issue for alcoholics and addicts. I'm getting out of this truck. I've just left the 6 o'clock AA meeting, and it's up in North Texas, and there's no wind blowing, and it's pretty quiet. It's like a night like this, just gorgeous outside. And I get out of my truck, and there's a big moon up there, you know, and I make it just outside the door of the truck, and it hits me. You know, there's a Circle K over here. My drug dealer lives in the same apartment. There's a 7-Eleven over here. I'm surrounded by alcohol and drugs, and I haven't even thought about using. I don't know when the desire left me, but I'm going to tell you this. I walked back up to my little apartment, and I watered my plants, and I put on some hot rock and roll and cranked it up real loud. and I had a good cry, because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I'd recovered from alcoholism and drug addiction. After 8 years of screwing with this program, I knew that the miracle had taken place. The thing that I heard people talking about over and over and over, and the happiness that they were having, I was getting my share of. And folks, let me tell you this, that was 2 weeks into my recovery process, and this time next month, I'll have 11 years, and it's been the same ever since. No obsession about alcohol and no obsession about drugs. Yeah, absolutely. It's been absolutely the coolest life you can imagine. Have I had some problems? You betcha. Let me tell you what God does when the problems come up. He allows me to walk through them with grace and dignity. You follow what I'm saying? When the money gets tight, I figure out how to get it, and all of a sudden the money shows up. The cats in the treatment center always get throwing me under the bus. They'll go and leave my group, and they'll go over to somebody else, and they say, Chris said over there in Big Book this morning that this program was about sex and money. The counselor called me on the phone, Chris, we need to talk. I said, shit, I've been thrown under the bus so many times. Spence is one of the ones that threw me under the bus the last time. And I go in there, and I say, did you tell these cats this? I said, yeah. Yeah, I did. Because that's what the program is about. The program is about being able to take care of your stuff. Do you think God put you on this earth to be lonely the rest of your life? Do you think God put you on this earth to be destitute, not have any money to pay your bills? Do you think he wants you answering the goddamn credit card and your creditors every time? That's not recovery, folks. That is not. That's living life on life's terms like we've been doing all along. This is about living life on God's terms, folks. We got to get straight with this business. There needs to be a change. I'll say this, and I'm going to wind this thing down. This thing is about a psychic change, folks. This is not a time where you just kill some time until the desire leaves you. It ain't going to leave you. You work the steps under a sponsorship who knows what he's talking about. You do a few things that you don't want to do. I love people in recovery. They're going to work the steps. I got to get sober this time. I'm going to work the steps right up until the point they become inconvenient. You follow me? This time in 1987, the old-timer said, Chris, we need you in a meeting every night. Every night? Every night. Every night. And we're going to start the steps now. Well, I think I just need to detox a few more days, and then I'm going to feel a little bit, and then I think, and by the way, can I have your phone number? Because, I may need somebody to talk to late at night, about 2 o'clock. Jesus Christ. The old-timers just grabbed me around and said, no, we're not going to play that game. You want to do this deal or not? Because we don't give a shit one way or another. I heard somebody else say that today. My hat's off to him. Folks, we're loving alcoholics and addicts to death. We're patting them on the head and telling them everything's going to be okay. Everything is not going to be okay. We're dealing with an internal illness, an illness that's just as real as cancer. It'll kill you just as dead. We get to watch it in the centers all the time. The problem is we're not telling you the truth. It'll be okay. Keep coming back. Everything will be okay. It won't be. It won't be. You don't work the steps, you're not going to have a good day. I can promise you that. One of the reasons, and I'll say it, one of the reasons that we have such a tough time in Cocaine Anonymous today and in AA today is that we got a lot of people around the periphery who don't even need to be here. We got a lot of people in this fellowship that are not alcoholic, that are not drug addict. They're hard drinkers and hard druggers. They had the power to stop on their own. They came, the women were good looking, the coffee was good, they enjoyed the laughter, they stayed. And they're the real vocal majority, folks. You can pick up some of these speaker tapes that we've been listening to. I guarantee it'll make you want to puke. Everybody telling their little happy horseshit stories. Easy does it. Everything's just happy. I'm sitting there at a Cocaine Anonymous conference in Houston, Texas, and I'm watching the women come into the V and sit around, and they come into the hospitality room where we have, but they can't look you in the face. Little beaten women, they're just absolutely devastated by the crack houses, and the men coming in, and all the stuff that's going on like this. Yeah, everything's just going to be fine. Dead center with the addict. We got to get off dead center with the alcoholic and start telling the people the truth. I smell more. Don't you want some real power? The book talks about lack of power being my dilemma. That's what it talks about. Lack of power is my... A lot of you can readily understand lack of power. It's not just talking about the cocaine. Folks, it's not just talking about the alcohol. It's talking about every area of my life. Wouldn't you like to have the power to be in a decent relationship? God, I sit in the meetings and I listen to people talk about being in abusive relationships and they're just there and they're just there and they're just there and they're just... Wouldn't you like to have the power to get out of the goddamn relationship? To get in a cool relationship where somebody supports you spiritually and mentally? Wouldn't you like to get in a decent job where you could pay all your damn bills? That's spiritual path, folks. That's spiritual path. I spent time in Houston, Texas, eating out of dumpsters, folks. I had a career. I had a talent. I had the earning capacity to earn money, but I was just... using a little bit too much more cocaine than I was earning the money, and that's how, you know, I just, and I ended up in a lot of trouble, but it was just for a short period of time. I'd be out of dumpsters in Houston, Texas, but you see, but that's not who I am. That's not who I am. This is who I am today. I've got some power in my life. Do I want you to like me? Yeah. Do I want you to like me enough to stand up here and tell you a bunch of funny stories and lie to you and tell you it's going to be okay? No. No. And that's the problem with our fellowship today. We got too many people-pleasing sons of bitches that all they want to do is sit around and sound cute in meetings and let the meetings go down that toilet, and nobody's going to be responsible, and stand up and say, this ain't right. This ain't cool. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm more concerned with you and your little feelings than I am about your spiritual life. And I watch you die. And then I go to your stinking funeral and say, God, I wish I could have done something for you. I don't know who God is going to put in your life to work with. You know, I hear people all the time. They come up after I speak and they say, oh, Chris, you must help so many people from the podium. Yeah, I help a few. I'll knock a few off dead center. That's a fact. But you see, the way the program works is that every one of us has a job out there in Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous. Every one of us have a job. I don't know who's God's going to drop in this young man's life to do the work with. All I know is this, and it's probably one of the most controversial things I say from the podium. If this man's not in a meeting when the guy comes that's looking for him and he ain't there, the guy ain't going to just stick around and find somebody else. I mean, my experience is that the guy will just go out and smoke himself to death. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You know, we take ourselves so... trivially. The book says it. You got the power to change other people's lives. You got the power, the peace, and the sense of direction to help somebody else get on the spiritual path. We see it with the women all the time. God dang it, there's more deaths in AA today with the women than anything else. Why? Because there ain't enough women in the fellowship to do the work with. They come, AA boy meets AA girl on AA campus, and bye-bye. No. It's happened to dozens of us. And then we have a nice little relationship going on, and then we don't need the fellowship anymore, and we go bye-bye to have our nice little life. You know, I need to ask you a question. Who in the hell do you think gave you that cool life to begin with? Who do you think gave you that nice house and that brand new car and that cool job making all that money? Don't you think God knows you're busy? Don't you think He knows you've got a lot of irons in the fire? But He don't let you off the hook. He says up here on page 13 and 14, he says, if we don't continue to grow spiritually by working with other alcoholics and addicts, we cannot possibly stay sober. It doesn't say we might not. It said we will not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. That's why recovery rates are through the toilet. That's why we can't stay sober. Your job is to go help other alcoholics and addicts stay sober, and I don't care how long you've been sober. I'm sorry. I don't care how long you've been sober. 30 days? Fine. Listen, this room is full of people with less than 30 days. If you've got 30 days, it's your responsibility to show them. Show them where the coffee is. Explain the chip system to them. Tell them about the literature. It's your job to do that. It's your job to work the steps and have a spiritual experience to go help somebody else. It's your job. Having a new employer is what the book says. We try to carry this message to other alcoholics and addicts who are still suffering. I look around the fellowship and Jesus, the people that are hurting and dying in this fellowship. There ain't enough people to do the work. You follow me? Go do the deal. Go do the deal, and your life will change forever. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I need to read it. I hear it all the time. I'm calling them on the telephone. You going to meetings? No, you know, my husband and I, we're going to marriage counseling now, and I'm really going to focus on this marriage and try to make it work. You selfish son of a bitch. You couldn't make it before work, could you? Now you're sober, you still can't make it work, can you? Why don't you go do what the book said do? Go work with another alcoholic and addict and let God take care of the marriage. If it's to be, it worked. If it's not, it won't. It's just that simple. Thy will be done, God's will. I'm in the world to do God's will. God said go work with somebody. By God, that's what I'm going to go do. Let Him take care of the relationship. We got to fix it. I know I can fix it this time. Does this make sense? Ask the old timers how come they got sober so many people back then. When you would come to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous years ago, back in the 40s, they would have you do a third step prayer before they would even take you to a meeting. Why? Because you needed some power so you could go work with other alcoholics. You didn't sit around meetings and wait and listen. Hell, action will get you sober, folks. Into action is what the chapter says. It doesn't say into think, does it? in to sit on your ass and talk about it? You know, we talk about the steps until the cows come home. Step study after step study after step study. Why don't you get your ass over to the women's halfway house and do some work there? Why don't you go to the men's halfway house and see if you can carry the message? They need sponsors. Why don't you get up off your dead ass and go look for another addict to go work with? Why? Why don't you? Because you're selfish. That's why you're so... No, you think you're above that. I don't need to do that. That's for somebody else to do. That's why you can't stay sober. Well, let me put it another way. Maybe you're staying sober, but that's why you can't feel the power that I'm feeling tonight. I'll say it and get out of here. We look around the fellowship and we see the rooms divided pretty much unevenly. We see little pockets of enthusiasm of people that are absolutely kicking butt and taking names. They seem to always be able to pay their bills. They seem to always be in a cool relationship. They seem to always be writing some good music. They seem to always be doing some cool sculpting. They seem to always be on another venture, you know, another cool thing. And then we see a great majority of the fellowships in both CA and AA sitting on their ass just being absolutely miserable. And if you think that's the life that God got for you, you need to get another higher power. You need to come talk to me after this meeting. You need to talk to some of these cats that have had spiritual experience because you're shortchanging yourself. What is this about? Relief or release? You guys want to come to this fellowship and get some temporary relief? I just want the pain to go away. You live with it for a day. Start working the steps and get past it so you can get some relief and get past the disease. And then you can get out there and start kicking some butt and taking names. Oh, I guess God just wants some of us happier than others. You know, how magnanimous of you to know what God's will is today, you know? I'm telling you this, God wants... There was a nice lady that came through treatment about 5 years ago when I first started working at the facility, and she'd been in two treatment centers at that point, in and out of fellowship, in and out of fellowship, alcoholic, brutal drug addict. She came out to California, halfway house, back, just everywhere. 9 treatment centers later, she's out in a little apartment. Her name was Mona. She was a nice lady. And she dies on a toilet, drunk, loaded. Terrible way to die. We go to the funeral. Everybody's hanging around talking. Some son of a bitch has to say it. Well, I guess it just wasn't God's will for her to get sober. Huh. No, folks, you know, I can't sit there and listen to that bullshit. I can't sit there and listen to that crap. God didn't have anything to do with that. Mona had every chance in the world to get sober. Every opportunity in the world, she wouldn't get up off her ass and do the same thing you people have to do on a daily basis. Get up in prayer and meditation. Go work with some other alcoholics and addicts. Get outside yourself. You see, it had nothing to do with God. God wanted that woman sober. She had every chance in the world, good sponsors. She just wouldn't do the deal. The victim shit. And I guess that's the saddest note of it all. There's some of you in here that are pumped up and are going to go out here and do some work. And I tell you, there's some of you in here that will curse my name for months. And every meeting you go to for the next 2 weeks, it'll be, that little wine son of a bitch, I'm glad he's back in Texas. I'm just going to remind you before I get off here, everything I'm talking about comes out of the big book. Talks about, I'm just not sharing my friggin' opinions with you. We got too many people in our fellowships sharing opinion with you. I'm sharing what the book says. But I'm telling you this, we need to get down to the brass tacks about it. There's some of you cats that don't want to get sober. There's some of you cats that like to be a victim. It's easier to sit on your ass and point a finger at me and blame me why you can't get sober. It's another thing to look yourself in the mirror and start looking at yourself in the fourth column. What's my part of this shit? And at that point, you stop being a victim, and you get out there and start being what God wants you to be. On page 49, it says that we need to start considering ourselves as spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. We need to start considering ourselves as spearheads, folks. Spearheads, the front end of this deal. We're the people that are going to change the world. The victims are not. And I'm sorry, I'm talking to some people in this room that will never get it because it's too difficult for you. You don't want to get up and do the deal. You don't have to do it by yourself. There's plenty of people in this room that will help you. But you like it in that pile of shit. You like being the victim. Because then you don't have to take responsibility for yourself. And some of you are going to get up tonight and you're going to go out there and you're going to have to start kicking some butt. And the miracle's going to take place. And I guarantee you, I want you to call me and let me know when it happens. Keep in touch with Craig. Craig will let me know what's going on. We need to get out there and start accepting the gifts that God's given us. God's given the gifts. You're not taking them. Work the steps. Chris, it's not that easy. You don't understand. My case is different. Don't do that to me. Don't come up tonight and do that shit with me. I don't want to do that. I've had a perfectly wonderful time here in Phoenix. Don't start that my case is different shit. Guys, I got a wonderful wife today. I live in a nice little house. I ride bicycles. I've got a garage full of bicycles. I'm a big bicycle enthusiast. I'm probably the only guy. I'm just getting over a collarbone injury. So if any of you guys decide to give me a big old recovery hug, make it an easy one. I'm still not quite healed on that side. I'm the only guy I think that I know of that ever hit a deer on a bicycle. See, if I'd have said that in an AA meeting, they'd have been, oh, that's terrible. See, I did it in something in an honest meeting. I'm telling you, you're all deviants. I tell you. And no, I don't want to hear any Bambi jokes. But let me tell you how God takes care of us. I had a broken collarbone, and that was it in the deal. I scraped a bunch of hide off this side, and that was it. I should have been dead in that accident. I was 40 miles an hour coming down a hill when I hit that deer. And I'm telling you, folks, God takes care of his kids. They're still laughing. It's a bunch of bastards, I tell you. Let's say this and get out real quick. God's grace does fall evenly on all of you, whether you believe it or not. And let me tell you this. A lot of us in this room have spent way too much time doing things for other people. It's time we start doing some things for ourselves. Get on this spiritual path, please. Go start painting some pictures, folks. Go back to school. Go start... Folks, we need more mentors in this fellowship. Go start doing what God put you on this earth to do. God didn't put you on this earth to be a crack whore. God did not put you on this earth God put you on this earth to kick butt and take names. And it's there for everybody. Go take the bull by the horn and go do it. I know if you don't know how to do it, find somebody that understands and start heading off someplace. Go back to school. Learn to speak some new languages, folks. I mean to tell you, go write some... Oh, man, go do the music. Go do the cool stuff that you've always wanted to do. That's what we're going to be held accountable for, folks. Are you living the life that you want to be leading? You know, my friend Clint H. out of California always says it, and I'll end with this. He talks about it. He says, right now, tonight, you can start being the person that God wanted you to be, or you can continue to sit here and make excuses why you're not that person. Stop blaming it on mommy and daddy. Stop blaming it on the husband or the girlfriend. Stop blaming it on Vietnam. Stop blaming it on all this other happy horse shit. Start understanding what it's about. It's about your connectedness with God. That's what the steps are about. Get connected, folks. We need you in the trenches. They're dying by the thousands out there because there ain't enough of you out there to carry the message to them. Thank you so much for your hospitality.